Right. If I asked a question of you, when did dinosaurs roam the earth? The answer would be millions and millions of years ago. I had my wife just grab three books, open it up, and just read the first line of the dinosaur book nice and loud. Can you do this for me? Thank you, Leslie. All right. What is the first line of the book there, Helen? Millions of years ago, dinosaurs lived on the Earth. And what do you have there? Oh, you've traveled back 150 million years in time. And then over here.
Dinosaurs lived between 230 million and 65 million years ago.
230 million to 65 million years ago. It starts at an early age, and I've heard it too, that dinosaurs lived millions and millions and millions of years ago. I would like to challenge that thought. Now, I know this could be a little bit dangerous because it's in all of the kids' books. I'm guessing, though I haven't fully read the curriculum that my kids have, but I would imagine that when they get to the study of the dinosaurs, that they're going to be saying the exact same thing, millions and millions and millions of years ago. There is a thought, and this is an ironclad thought within some thinking in terms of dinosaurs. You cannot have dinosaurs and man living together. That's absolutely against the realm of thought in any evolutionary type of thinking. So that's the reason why when they come across dinosaur bones, the immediate thing they say is this must have taken place millions and millions of years ago. They don't even stop to question it. They just accept that as the fact. I would like to say that that is not the fact. I believe that dinosaurs. Christians get stuck on this. They say, well, then what do we do with the dinosaurs? They didn't live millions of years ago, and if they never lived with man, then dinosaurs must be fake. And then we think of maybe that dinosaurs are all fake and that whole teaching is wrong. Well, no, I believe the dinosaurs did exist. I believe that we found some of their bones, and I believe that dinosaurs and man walked together. I believe that God created them. I believe that the majority of them were destroyed in Noah's flood, and I am a wacko that believes that dinosaurs possibly could even still exist today. Oh, yeah. Are you with me, Dan? Dan's a conspiracy theorist too. You're with me. Yeah, I love this stuff. Okay. Now, dinosaurs. So now the question becomes, dinosaurs, are there any dinosaurs in the Bible? Because you might have a little concordance. You look in the back and you say, I don't find the word dinosaur in the Bible. Did dinosaurs exist and are they mentioned in the Bible? And the answer to that is yes. You got your little sticker? Yes. It says, the first line there, Behemoth and Leviathan. Can someone tell me how to translate the word behemoth? What does that mean? Large, yeah. If I drive a behemoth truck, that must mean I have a large truck. It's actually this word that's translated. They didn't know what to call it, so they just called it big animal, the big animal. And then Leviathan is another description. So you're going to have to flip with me now. We're going to go to the book of Job. We're not going to look at all these scripture passages, and I don't have any up on PowerPoint debated on that. Anyway, behemoth. Job chapter 40. If you find the book of Psalms, Psalms is about halfway in your Bible. You open your Bible halfway, you're going to hit the book of Psalms. Go left one book, and you're going to get Job. Job, Psalms. Job chapter 40. So when someone says, are there dinosaurs in the Bible? You say, yeah, I can answer that. Here's some scripture passages that we're going to go and look at. Job chapter 40. I'm going to be starting at verse 15. Yeah, that's okay. Job chapter 40, I'm going to start at verse 15. Look, you ready? Here we go. Look at the behemoth. Do you have a text note on the word behemoth? Yeah, possibly the hippopotamus or the elephant. Now, you might read that and go, well, obviously that stuff's inspired. Obviously someone more brilliant than me came up with that. And I would like to say it is not the hippopotamus or the elephant, because I actually read this section. And when you read the section, you realize this is not describing an elephant or a hippopotamus. All right? So that's what they say. But I want you to come to your own conclusion after this description. Look at the behemoth, which I made along with you. Who made it? God made it. Who made the dinosaurs? God made the dinosaurs. It's quite plain. Which I made along with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox. Which means, is he a meat eater or a plant eater? Plant eater. He's an herbivore. 16. What strength he has in his loins, what power in the muscles of his belly. So he's got a powerful belly. Now, a T-Rex eats meat. Come on now. This is something different. Eats grass like an ox. Power in the muscles of his belly. Verse 17. His tail sways like a cedar. Is that a hippopotamus? Because when I look at a hippopotamus tail, I go, wow, that is such a monstrous tail. It's like a cedar tree swinging around. No, it's not a hippopotamus. How about an elephant? No, all I have to do is read, and you come to the conclusion really quickly that it's not the hippopotamus or the elephant. Of course, then they try and do a little razzle-dazzle on you. Do you have a little text note on the word trunk? Or on the word tail? I blew it. Yeah, do you have the text note on the word tail? Or trunk? Now we're just making stuff up. This is wonderful. I love it. No, it's the tail. So this animal has a tail that has the power of a tree and has a huge, ginormous belly. Verse 18, his bones are tubes of bronze, his limbs like rods of iron. So he's got some monstrous legs. He ranks first among the works of God. So this is like the greatest creature God created. And when I think of great creatures, I think of the hippopotamus. Please. It's not a hippopotamus. What large, ginormous beast has a huge, gigantic tail, monstrous belly, ginormous legs, and would be the biggest of all of God's creation? Brontosaurus, Brachiosaurus, Apatosaurus, Deinthesaurus. I mean, there's tons of these out there. Oh, that's the blind dinosaur. Sorry. I stole that from Jurassic Park. It's not my own. Look at this. And then, yet his maker can approach him with a sword. The hills bring him their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby, meaning he's not a meat eater. Under the lotus plants he lies, hidden among the reeds in the marsh. The lotuses conceal him in their shadow. So he also likes to hang out in marshy areas. By poplars by the stream surround him. When the river rages, he is not alarmed. He is secure, though the Jordan should surge around his mouth. Mighty hippopotamus can stand in a raging torrent. How about an elephant? Can they just wade right through the middle of a ginormous river? No, this would have to be an animal that's much larger than that. And can anyone capture him by the eyes or trap him and pierce his nose? And the answer is no. This is a huge beast, I think. It's a brontosaurus, brachiosaurus, apatosaurus, something like that. That's a description of a dinosaur, if you ask me. If you had no clue what this was, I described it, that would be it. Now, chapter 41, we're going to get into this other thing called Leviathan. Now, Leviathan also becomes code for the strongest creature against God. In another place, it talks about Leviathan, the gliding serpent. So there's kind of this evil thing surrounding it. It's this, and it becomes symbolic of evil against God. This is the Leviathan. So chapter 41. Can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down his tongue with a rope? That must be a big creature if you can't tie down his tongue with a rope. Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he keep begging you for mercy? Will he speak to you with gentle words? Will he make an agreement with you for you to take him as your slave for life? So is this like a pet you could take home? A little Leviathan creature, you put a little terrarium? Yeah, Wes. Well, Leviathan later on talks about a seven-headed creature, seven-headed dragon in the book of Revelation. And that is equated with Satan, so there's evil around it. But in this particular case, I believe this is, let me give you the context. In the book of Job, dude has lots of problems, lots of bad things happen, and he rails against God. Why is this happening? Why am I suffering? God, I want to plead my case to you. When you look at me, you're going to, find me not guilty, and you're going to give me answers. And God, come down here now and answer my question of why all this is happening. And then God shows up in chapter 38 and says, you know what, before we get to your questions, I have a few questions of my own to ask you. Were you there during creation? Have you plumbed the depths of the oceans? Have you seen where the stars are in place? Did you tell the oceans to go this far and stop and go no further? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? Were you there during this creation? Do you know where the snow is being stored up in heaven? Do you know about the bubbling springs within the deeps of the depths of the ocean? All of these questions over and over, and it ends chapter 40 and 41 with God describing two of his greatest creatures. So that's why I believe this Leviathan is in reference to a real, actual, can I say it? Dinosaur. Look at what else he says. Verse 5, can you make a pet of him like a bird or put him on a leash for your girls? Daddy, I want a Leviathan. Okay, honey, I'll get that for you. Will traders barter for him? Will they divide him up among his merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? You could fill his hide full of harpoons and you're not going to stop. This is, you know, this is not, yeah, and of course some people say Leviathan is a crocodile. Well, okay, you know, there might be, but you put a couple spears in a crocodile and they tie down the jaws of crocodile, but this one, it says you can't even tie down his tongue. If you lay a hand on him, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Like, oops, sorry. Yeah, you won't be alive. Any hope of subduing him is false. The mere sight of him is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse him. Who then is able to stand against him? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. I will not fail to speak of his limbs, his strength, and his graceful form. So this is a creature, sea creature, graceful in form, but mighty. Who can strip off his outer coat? Who will approach him with the bridle? Who dares open the mouths? Of doors of his mouth ringed about with his fearsome teeth. His back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Oh. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. Okay, you ready for the really cool part? Check out this description. I won't even say nothing. You tell me what it's saying. His snorting throws out flashes of light. His eyes are like the rays of dawn. Firebrands stream from his mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from his nostril as from a boiling pot over a fire of reeds. His breath sets coals ablaze and flames dart from his mouth. It's a fire-breathing animal. Now, before you get all, that's impossible. They can't do that. Lynn, have you researched the bombardier beetle? Oh, my gosh. I swear, I type this in like, are there really fire-breathing stuff? And up comes this bombardier beetle. Now, this bombardier beetle is a fascinating creature, so fascinating that a scientist one time researched the bombardier beetle and became a Christian just off the research of this one animal. Yeah, so this is, it defies all evolutionary models. Like, oh, this just kind of evolved and eventually out came this creature. It has in its body these two sacs, and in these two sacs are two different chemicals. When this bombardier beetle, which is this little tiny thing, gets scared, it squirts these two chemicals into it's a firing chamber. And when it mixes, it shoots out a liquid 212 degrees Celsius. Oh, yeah. There's actually, just type it into YouTube, bombardier beetle, and you'll see a video of this. I think it's a tarantula. It's a big spider compared to a little tiny bombardier beetle. And the other cool thing about the bombardier beetle, this little thing, it rotates every direction. So bombardier beetle is facing Mr. Giant Spider Dude. Spider Dude's like, ooh, yum, look at this. And he's crawling over to him, grabs bombardier beetle, and all of a sudden all you see is this poof. And spider goes running off in the other direction. Bombardier beetle turns around and just walks away. I'm like, yeah, boy, I love this bombardier beetle. 212 degrees, that's a hot liquid firing out, and it could shoot in any direction. Now, the problem is, if you take these two chemicals and you mix them, they become so hot and deadly, how is it staying inside the firing chamber? I mean, if you mix these two things together, wouldn't you think that the beetle would just kind of explode into a million pieces right on the side? Well, it's because it's got this asbestos-type lining within this thing that somehow magically evolved. No, it didn't evolve. It's there. And then when it shoots it, and then this scientist was like, I don't understand how it could shoot this out and not kill itself and launch itself against the, like, if you shoot this thing out so fast, how come the bombardier beetle does, like, fly in the other direction? Slow motion Videography, when they slow it down, they find out that it doesn't shoot it out as one big giant puff as we see it with the naked eye. When you slow it down, it comes out in these little microbursts, literally milliseconds apart. They slowed it down and you could see these almost like little bullets firing out, spread apart. And they say, because of that, it doesn't launch the Bombardier Beetle because it's this rapid fire. And the scientist, after researching this fire-spitting creature, said that there's got to be a God. You can't develop this naturally. It would die. Someone had to create this creature. And someone created Leviathan as well. This fire-breathing. We could go on to the whole thing, but I won't. I mean, it's the most powerful creature around. A big, giant thing. Yes, Pam. B-O-M-B-A-D-I-E-R. One of the top listings on the YouTube is that scientist who did like a 3-4 minute video. You can watch it for yourself. It blew me away. Oh, I don't remember the scientist's name. Sorry. Yeah, just go on to the internet. You can do it. Fascinating. All right. So, are there dinosaurs in the Bible? I keep giving away all my good stuff. Are there dinosaurs in the Bible? Yes. Are there any? Up until now, I have always said that those were the only two descriptions of dinosaurs that were ever in the Bible. And then I did some more research, and I found out that the word dinosaur, it's even printed on your little sticker, the word dinosaur wasn't even invented until 1841. So what, and dinosaur comes from two Latin words, meaning great or terrible or vicious lizard reptile thingy. So what would a great and terrible reptile thingy be called prior to 1841? A dragon. Are there dragons in the Bible? Yes. Now, this is where we'll look up some of these passages. Out of curiosity, anyone bring a King James Version? You got New King James? I didn't check New King James. This will be fascinating. When we look those up, look them up with us, Jim, and check to see if it uses the word dragon in these places. NIV uses a word that I think is absolutely horrendous and horrible, and I laugh and scoff at it because I don't understand. I think it's because the NIV translators didn't believe in dragons. Now, before you start getting freaky and saying, do we believe in dragons, you've got to ask yourself a couple of questions. How did all of the worldwide cultures come up with this creature known as the dragon? How did they all come up with essentially the same drawings, the same thing? Could it actually be that they actually existed? Now, in the 1850s, in the Orient, they discovered these handbooks and to depict palace life and some of the jobs that were created in palace life. You know what one of the jobs was in 1850? A dragon feeder. Well, what does the dragon feeder do? I don't want that job either. Like, what? I got to feed the dragon? They were actually also trying to train him because another thing they were trying to do is domesticate him enough so that they could pull the chariot of the emperor with dragons. Now, that would be, I mean, I would be impressed. If I'm there and all of a sudden dragons start coming by and, yeah, it would be rather amazing. I think some of them did fly. Okay. Okay. You're going to have to help me out. These are not on PowerPoint. Someone look up Psalm 74, 13 and 14. Raise your hand if you want to read that one out loud. Diane. Someone do Psalm 148, 7. We're only going to do like five of these. Diane. Isaiah 13, 22. Pam. Helen, can you take the next one then? Isaiah 27:1, and then Isaiah 34:13, and then we're going to stop right there. Isaiah 34:13, someone look that up. Anyone? Bueller? There we go. Melissa, thank you. While they're looking it up, I want to tell you another couple things about dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are interesting creatures because when you do the research on it, you find out that the majority of the dinosaurs that they have unearthed were no bigger than a horse. I know we get the kind of the concept in our head that when dinosaurs, you know, roamed the earth, they were all T-Rexes and they were all big giant dinosaurs. The vast majority of them were no bigger than a horse. Now, how in the world did we get all of these? And the also amazing thing is, how in the world did we get all those fossils? You know, in terms of getting fossils, do you know there's really only one? You have to have a cataclysmic event, and you have to have something cover over another thing, such as a footprint or a carcass, in a quick amount of time, and then have sediment laid upon it, and then it has to stay there for a while and be compressed, and then finally be found. So where in the world could we have had a cataclysmic event where the world was covered in water and laid sediment all over the world in order to preserve these fossils for us to discover? The La Brea Tar Pits. No, what was the event? The event was Noah's flood. I believe God created dinosaurs. I believe we find a lot of the dinosaurs over here because to me that makes a whole lot of sense. We got Adam and Eve, right? They're over here. Well, what's over here? What's in La Brea? Or what's in, sorry, Brea? What's in Brea? Tar Pits. If you fill up the United States with big giant dinosaurs, wouldn't that make sense? I mean, I wouldn't want really a T-Rex hanging out with Adam and Eve. It'd be like, oh, got to start over again. Let's create another man in our image. Yeah, it's not going to work. You find all these dinosaurs in other places except right in that one area. Kind of interesting. All right, let's take a look at these passages. I do not know who has what. Psalm 74, 13 and 14. Yeah. Oh, the creatures of the desert. What the creatures of the desert. Doesn't make any sense. If you saw that in the King James, that would say dragon. The creatures of the desert would be the dragons. What else? What's the next one? Psalm 148:7. Yeah. Great sea creatures. It's the exact same word. It's the same word in all of these. I looked it up in the Hebrew. It's the exact same word. Gets translated in all these different ways, which is kind of weird. King James just said, well, why don't we just call them dragons? And that's how it's all labeled throughout it. Isaiah 13:22. And jackals. Oh, God bless you, NIV. Jackals? Jackals. Oh, New King James does that. Oh, so New King James says jackals. You know what the original Hebrew word is? Dragon. On your sticker, do you see all the rest of those passages? Almost all of them translate it, if you're in an NIV, translates those as jackals. It's the same word. Same word. And then finally, oh no, wait, we got two more. Isaiah 27:1. Leviathan, the gliding serpent. Same word. What kind of thing would be this gliding serpent reptile creature, which we're not going to hit it in this one, but if you look up all those other passages, one of them can eat people. Someone actually prays, "Dear Lord, please don't let me be eaten by a jackal." Scary jackal. Then Isaiah, what did I do? 35:7? Did someone? Oh, 34:13. She'll become a haunt for jackals. She'll become a haunt for King James. Oh, he's got the iPhone. Yeah, there we go. King James says dragons. You can look it up. It's no joke. I just pulled out. I have software that I do the research, and I went into King James Version, typed in dragons, and printed, and that's what you see right here is that listing. Dragons. Did dragons exist back in those days? I think they did. I think they might have existed all the way up till 1850, and I think they might actually still exist today. Yes, please. Yeah, no, it's the NIV's translating it jackals.
No, I'm saying if you were to talk to somebody who spoke Hebrew.
I would be fascinated to find out. I don't know. I would have to. I should type that into jewfaq.org. That's a great website. If you ever want to know anything Jewish, jewfaq.org, Jew Frequently Asked Questions. It's moderated by a rabbi, and I go there all the time when I have a Jewish question. I didn't do it for this one, but that would be very fascinating.
See how the Hebrew
Yeah, but it's so funny. It's the same word. I'm reading this going, how did you get this one word to become jackal, leviathan, this gliding serpent? It's all from the same word. It's incredible. So, did dragons exist? Yeah. We may want to say that I don't think they're jackals. That's all. And then we won't look at these, but great monster is also another translation of Genesis. You get that in Genesis 1:21, Job 7:12, Ezekiel 32:2. I believe the dinosaurs were created by God because it says God created everything, which includes dinosaurs, dragons, whatever you want to call them, and jackals. And then the majority of them were wiped out in Noah's time. Then as man started inhabiting the earth, I think that's why we get some of those stories. They're all over the place of people, the knights going out to slay the dragon. I mean, doesn't that make sense? I mean, how many grizzly bears live in Orange? Not many. Why? Because we shot them all and we moved them out. We're like, we don't want grizzly attacking us in the middle of the night. That'd be the same thing back then. Like, Frank, dragon, go. Yeah. Frank didn't come back. Joe, you're next. Go. Get dragon creature. Get big thing that eats. And eventually, it pushed them away. And you can look at the research yourself. There's a marsh in the middle of Africa that is half the size of the United States of America. And is largely unexplored because to go through the marsh, you can only travel about 1 mile an hour. And you can talk to some of the villagers that live on the outsides of the areas. And they actually went and showed them pictures. They had the little pictures. They're like, hey, what's that? And they're like, oh, that's Manumba Kembwe. What? No, this is a dinosaur. It was extinct 5 million years ago. They go, no, we saw him last night. He tried to eat our village. You know. They did the same thing with pterodactyls. The translation is they call it the great bat. They actually bury their dead and cover them up with rocks. Why? Because bat creature comes down and actually digs them up. You do your own research. I'm telling you, this is all the stuff I found very fascinating. Dinosaurs, I think, were in the Bible. Yes. Did they kill them all off? I don't remember. I mean, Noah's flood obviously wiped out the majority. That's the reason why we have all of those. And then... I think Noah took them. I think Noah took them. Noah was 500 years old. He's been around the block. And also, Noah didn't bring the creatures. God sent them. Do you think God's going to send a full-grown brontosaurus? If I were you, what would you do? Send a baby. Come on, you know, a little baby. You know, you drop them, they'll be resilient, stuff like that. And then, and also remember, he sent two of every kind, not every, so like two dogs, not two labs, two poodles, two labradoodles, two, you know, canardlies, you know, those you can hardly tell what they're made from, you know, it was just dog. Yeah. And so I think that he brought dinosaurs, didn't have to bring the flying ones, and he didn't bring any fish. No fish were on board. Those all survived. So all the swimming ones survived as well. And then they grew up and multiplied. And I think that's the other reason. I cannot verify this. Is someone a scientist in here? Can you verify? Someone I heard say reptiles never stop growing. Is that true? Reptiles never stop growing. Now, if you have man living to 969 years, the theory behind that is because there was a canopy of water around it. So essentially the earth was a greenhouse preventing any sunlight, any of the sun's radiation to come in, meaning you're not getting x-rayed, and that's why you could live to 969, which would really stink if you're 500 and going through a midlife crisis. It's like it'll last forever, right? But then if you have reptiles living in this, how big are those reptiles going to get? Some of the snakes that they found that are still living in the marsh there, one of the snakes ate a villager. He fell asleep. Yeah, it's bad. So do you have the question now? Yeah, and in that one is probably more of a context of it being the embodiment of Satan or a picture, a symbol of Satan. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think that the dinosaurs made it onto the ark. I think the small ones did. And the ark was huge. Just type in Noah's Ark. They actually have a real Noah's Ark. Someone built it to scale. It's monstrosity. It's huge. Yes. Someone. Yes. Uh-huh. And that's where Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, and that's Leviathan became a symbol or a picture of Satan, and that's why in the book of Revelation you will find the only times the NIV translates a word into dragon, and it's in reference to that coiling serpent, and then it's even referenced as Leviathan. Yeah, but I think there was also a true real Leviathan, just like that snake. I mean, I don't know what that snake was that was in the Garden of Eden, but I don't think he was a small little slithering kind. I think he was a... Well, he walked. Yeah, which is really cool. Yeah. Who had a question? Oh, Randy.
It's actually a proven fact that snakes at one time did have legs.
Yeah, and even today, I mean, I was watching a thing. I was watching some Jurassic Park for some study last night. But also the Komodo. Yeah, seriously, it was awesome. It's like, whoa. But the Komodo dragon. I saw a whole thing. My kids got something, and they're all in the drag. I mean, holy cow, this thing will bite you. And they throw this hunk of meat. It's like a steak this big, and they throw it out, and the guy grabs it and swallows it whole. I'm like, yeah, boy. If you were like 50 times that size, I would be running. I would be so scared. Yes. Yeah, because they got poison for spit. Yeah. How did we get poison spit? Oh, it evolved? No. All right, let's move on. I could go on and on about dinosaurs. It's a very fascinating subject. You should research it yourself. So now if someone says, are dinosaurs in the Bible? Yes. Where? Oh, here's my thing. Job 40, Job 41. Then this word dragon all through there. The great sea monster. He was created. Yes, Diane.
Okay, so you don't have to answer if I missed it.
Okay. I'll answer it anyway. They lived about 10,000 years ago and probably still exists to this day.
How do you answer that to somebody how do you totally get your point across? You just go right through.
Yeah, you know, the hard part is I reference so much of Scripture, so obviously if you're talking to someone who doesn't believe in the Bible, they're going to be like, that's garbage. And then at that point you just say, you could do your own research, because they still find, even to this day, all of these examples of man living with dinosaurs and dragons. And they say, well, what's that? They go, well, that's obviously a hoax, because the basic premise is man and dinosaurs didn't live together. But there are plenty of examples, and if you do then research, you can find that particular research that show man and dinosaurs living together, and then to this day, meaning they were a relatively recent creation.
Biloxi River.
Yeah, and don't get me started on the Loch Ness and then the hundreds of Nessie things out there. I swear, I mean, you would not believe the stuff I found. Oh, yeah. Oh, they even, is that the one? Oh, they also, there was a picture of a kid. They actually took a picture of a kid in this big giant footprint. And they're like, well, where's that from? There was even one where, then you can get conspiracy theorists, where one guy, one of these creatures, a plesiosaur, washed up. And they even have the interviews from the coroner's office, the chief of police and all this, where they all verified that this thing had a neck 20 feet long. And all the people like, oh, it's a bashing shark. If you look up a bashing shark, it has no neck. It's this little. Yeah, no, it's 20 feet long. They went back to go verify, because the guy took the pictures out of the reports. They went back to find them. They were all gone. How did that happen? Dun, dun, dun. And. Yeah, I think they were even. Yeah, or it was something that was bigger and more dragon-ishy. And then, we don't have time, but also pick up the movie Expelled from Ben Stein. Ben Stein's a brilliant man. And he goes against the fact that if you want to go and examine the fossils of these dinosaurs that are kept under lock and key, the first question they ask you is, do you believe in creation or evolution? And if you say, I believe in creation, then you are not allowed to examine the materials. Yes. Expelled. Right? Sorry, Expelled. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I need to. But
actually, it's Expelled, Intelligence Not Required.
Intelligence Not Required. Yeah. Seriously. All right. We're moving on. Here we go. 6 days. Did God create the world and everything in it in 6 days?
Yes.
I didn't even answer the question yet. Because you're going to get some people say, no, God couldn't have done it in 6 days. This had to have happened over thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of years. That's how it always seems to come up. Well, if we're going to go straight to the Bible, you can look at Genesis chapter 2, Exodus chapter 20, and Exodus chapter 31. All three of those specifically say that in 6 days, God created the earth. Yeah, and I'll get to that. That's in the next part of the sticker. We're almost there, though. Yeah, we're almost there. Because I hear that same argument. Yes, Randy. Yeah, and that's going to be in the sticker in just a moment. I'll address that dumb idea. I'll address that idea. One of the things about the six-day creation, if you were going to look up Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 to 11, you will find out that that is smack dab in the middle of the Ten Great Commandments. And in that is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And it specifically says that in 6 days God created the earth, and on the seventh day he rests. So that means you and I are supposed to work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. That in and of itself blows the 1,000-year theory out. Y'all need to be working for 6,000 years, and then on the 7,000th year, then you can rest. Not going to work. And if you want the passages on the 6 day significant, you can look up Exodus 16, 22-30, Exodus 34-21, Exodus 35-2, Deuteronomy 5-13, Deuteronomy 16-8. All talk about how important it is that you work for 6 days, and then on the seventh day you rest. Yeah. It's so important that you realize that God does this for a reason. Now, I also challenge people, because some people say God just couldn't create that in 6 days. And I go, holy cow, couldn't he have done it a little bit faster? I think 6 seconds is probably within the realm, but that wouldn't work for us. Okay, everyone, you get to work for 6 seconds, and on the seventh second, you may rest. You're like, wait, that's my kid. I'm telling you, the 6 days, okay. And then, of course, people come up with, they come up with 2 Peter 3:8. This is the big passage. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Well, we've already dismantled some of that, and the fact that, no, it was a day. He didn't work for 6,000 years and rest on the 7,000th year. He did that for us. In 2 Peter 3:8, it is in a specific context about the coming back of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ isn't slow. It's not like Jesus Christ is forgotten, like, oops, oh, that's right, earth, redemption, forgot all about that. I need to go into... No, he is waiting, and with God, there is no time. But when God breaks into our time, he's breaking into our time. So it has nothing to do with creation at all. And then you could also say that the word right there, I said the word is yom in the Hebrew, it appears 1,927 times. No, I did not investigate all of them, but I took quite a large sampling. And guess what? Every time that word yom is translated day, do you know what it means? A day. It means a day. And then some people, I was challenged one time, that says, well, you know, the book of Genesis, it's a very highly symbolic book. And then I looked at him and I said, dude, have you read it? He goes, no, I'm a Catholic. And so... I'm not joking there. That is a true statement. And I said, dude, pick up the book of Genesis and read it, and you'll find out quickly there's nothing symbolic about it. It's a history textbook. Did God create the world in 6 days? Yes, he could have done it in 6 seconds, 6 minutes, 6 milliseconds if he wanted to. He chose 6 days for us so that we could do it. It's not outside the realm of God's possibility. If it was, then he's not God. And then someone says, well, wait a second. Then how old is the earth? Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to say that because that day is like 1,000 or millions or trillions of years, then God created it, and then it just kind of sat there for a while, then a second day, and then that's how we get the earth being... Like, how old is the earth? millions and millions and billions of years old, right? And so the question always becomes, well, then wait a second. If God's word is true, then God had to have created this stuff about 6 to 10,000 years ago. We're not too sure because there's not an exact time like, hey, on Tuesday afternoon, God started creating. No. It was, we can reach the genealogies that are listed. You can even start with Jesus's that go all the way back to the dude named Adam. And it even goes further and says that Adam was a child of God. So when you kind of extrapolate about 6 to 10,000 years ago. And then some people say, no, we've carbon dated the earth. And the earth is millions and millions of years old. And I said, I may not disagree with that. I have no problem with that, actually. And then I have another guy, he attacks me and he says, no, wait, this had to have happened millions and millions and millions of years ago. We got stars. There are stars out there that are 40 million light years away, which means a light year is the distance that light travels in a year. And it's 40 million light years away, which means that that star was shining. And 40 million years later, that light is now being able to be seen by our eyes. That star may have actually even stopped existing. It may not even be shining anymore. But we're getting its light. It's 40 million years after the fact. And I say, you know what? I don't doubt it. I believe that the earth could be millions of years old. I believe that the lights shining in the earth could have been 40 million years old. I don't think they were created 40 million years ago. And I don't think the earth was created 40 million years ago. It was 6 to 10,000 years. And so that becomes a discrepancy. How do I reconcile that? I'm so glad you asked. If you take a look, the last thing, we won't look it up, but I'll tell you what it says. Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 to 31 talks about how God created everything. The animals, the plants, the trees, and man. And I've got a question. How old was Adam when he was born? Well, we know what he wasn't. He wasn't a zygote and then finally developed and, you know, flippers went on land. He was 13? Dang. Oh, he had the desire. And men only have the desire at age 13. Come on, Irene. Jeepers. If we put our life into a hand of a teenager, no wonder we're all messed up. Oh, sorry, teenagers. Sorry about that. Sorry there. All I know is this. Adam was not a baby. Could Adam talk after God created him? Where did he get the language? God. Did God create little seeds in the ground that then grew up to be sequoias? Or did he create sequoias? Well, how can you have a big giant sequoia? Those takes hundreds and hundreds of years to grow. How did you get a fruit-bearing plant on the first day? Because he built it in with age in it already. God created trees. And you look at it and you go, yeah, it must be. Adam, I don't know how old he was. I don't know how he celebrated his birthday. I mean, am I 30? Or, you know, when it says Adam lived to be 970, it was, you know, you probably got to add a few more years because he was already an adult talking when it actually started. And then I get the accusation. Then that means God is a deceiver and a liar. And I go, it's what the text says. And then I have someone challenge me. Rich knows who I'm talking about. And he says, you know what, Mark? All I know is that I'm a scientist. And I believe in God. And I believe in Jesus. And I believe in the Bible. But when you take a look at the scientific evidence, it doesn't square with what Genesis chapter 1 says. And so I looked at him and I said, you are a scientist. And that is what your evidence shows you. I am but a mere lowly theologian, and this is what the Bible says. And so if I'm going to have to look at one and believe one over the other, I will have to take what the Bible says. Because if I start saying to myself, I don't know if that really happened, then I've got to say, well, did Jesus happen? Did his death actually happen? Did he actually come back from the dead? Am I still in my sins? Is this all a big giant hoax? Or I'm going to say, what the Bible says is quite clear, quite plain. And every single year, as the creation theory continues to gain traction within the scientific community, more and more discoveries continue to come out, proving creation is in fact true. You won't hear about it. They don't want to report on it. All you got to do is do a little research and you'll find that all this stuff is true. So how old is the earth? It's probably really old. Was it created 40 million years ago? I don't think so. I believe God did it that way. Jim. How long did it take for Adam and Eve to sin? I personally have a belief that it was probably about 30 seconds, but that's just my own theory. Like, here you go, first thing. Oh, you guys are, you know. But it is true. It very well could be that lots of time, but I don't think it was millions and millions and millions of years. I don't think, because it specifically says that Adam lived a certain time. He sinned in there, and yeah. Yeah, he was 130 when he, could you imagine that, being 130 and chasing after a toddler? Sweet Moses. We came from the apes. No, because the apes, where did the apes come from? In the evolutionary thinking, the apes came from the zygotes and the goo, and then those came from dirt, and that happened from the Big Bang. And you can actually find an article, it was one of the greatest articles I've read, had on the front cover, Big Bang, because at first they thought that the Big Bang was this big old giant mass of stuff that then exploded, and then it keeps getting small. You know, now they're saying that it's the size of a pin, and then some people even say that it's the size of nothing. And I actually read this. It said, nothing exploded, and here we are.
In the beginning, there was nothing, yeah. Then it exploded.
Yeah, in the beginning, there was nothing, and then it exploded. Well, yeah, that's fascinating. So, where did the dirt come from? Where did the zygotes, where did all of that, where did the primordial soup that we came, where did that come from? They don't have an answer. And we say that God created everything. And they say, well, where did God come from? There is no answer to that because that's the definition of God. If God had a beginning, then he would be a created being. If he's a created being, he's no longer God. And they say, you have to take that on faith. And I'm like, no kidding. And so do you. In the beginning God or in the beginning dirt? Yeah.
I just think that I saw this one thing on the Discovery Channel, and I was just watching it, I was just cracking up because you have all these different scientists with different inconsistent theories.
Yeah. Fish came up on land, yeah. Yeah.
I saw that. Yeah.
I saw one where it said, you've evolved from a sponge. And I'm like, holy cow, SpongeBob is my daddy?
Now my son would like
that. Exactly. Yeah, but seriously, yeah, we all come from fish, but where did those come from? That came from an electrical current that hit all these primordial soup and life happened. But where did all that come from? Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, the great pineapple under the sea. Let's all sing. No, let's not. Yes, Alex.
Many years ago when I was in college, I took an oceanography class, and we walked through all these theories on how life started. And then I always remember the teacher said, but, you know, the truth is they don't really know.
The truth is they don't really know.
So now I'm a science fiction buff, and so I watch these science fiction things, and they inevitably
they really don't know. That's the reason why we call it the theory of evolution.
Great faith.
Yeah. You have to go back to God. Yeah. Sean. Oh, nice, yeah. Nice. I love that kind of stuff. It's real simple. Just read Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, Jim.
You know, the thing that really blows my mind about their logic is that they can explain the whole evolution thing, but they cannot explain
Oh, yeah, the brain, yeah.
They don't know what life.
They have no clue.
They have no idea what life is, and yet they're making assumptions like that.
Well, I hope that after this discussion today, you will no longer ever come to me and say, what about the dinosaurs? You've got all the resources you need, and the internet is just an iPhone away. Just plug it in and check it out. It's all over the place. Lynn, one final thing, then we'll pray.
I don't know if I should do this, but this is my area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lynn
gives me tons of stuff and makes me make sure that I'm on the track scientifically. And there are a lot of creation scientists like that dude with the bombardier beetle. He says, you cannot get it any other way. This is absolutely amazing what God has created. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I thank you that you created everything and that you hold everything together, and I pray that you would continue to give us faith to follow in you. And I pray, Lord, that you would maybe even just this week, which would be really cool, put someone in our path that actually asks us these questions. And instead of quivering or getting scared about it, we can confidently now say, I can answer that, and bring people to Scripture and then tell them about you, this amazing, wonderful Creator, and all that you've done. And if you've created us, that must mean you love us. And if you love us, that must mean you have a plan for our life. And if that means that, then Lord, you must demonstrate that. You must break into this world, Lord, and you have through Jesus Christ. And you must love us so much because you died for us. And then ultimately we could tell them that your plan for us has always been that we would come back to you. And so I ask, Lord, that as we would deepen in our faith and be excited about research and take a look at some of these things, that it would just be an amazing adventure that we would go on. I pray that you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. For